Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your hostess, Emerald Peaceful Greenforest, and I am here with Steve Schallenberger. Steve is the founder and chairman of Becoming Your Best Global Leadership, a company based on his breakthrough book, Becoming Your Best, The 12 Principles of Highly Successful Leaders. Becoming Your Best produces transformational leadership, which in turn builds cultures of excellence, which produce high-performance individuals and organizations that are at the top of what they do. I am so delighted to welcome you to today's show, Stephen.
Well, thank you, Emerald. It's a delight to be here. I love your energy and your focus and your vision and all the cool things you're doing in the world.
Awesome. Well, you're doing some pretty cool things in the world, Steve. So I want to talk to you about your calling. What was it that called you to step into the space of serving in leadership, in the leadership area?
Yeah, sometimes that evolves, Emerald, kind of organically or spontaneously. As a young man, I was raised in the San Francisco Bay Area, and our family is pretty poor, modest circumstances. My first job was with an Italian restaurant, cleaning tables, washing the dishes, and then I worked for the Vallejo Garbage Company, which was a great experience. I'd have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, drive to the most dangerous part of town, wait in line for someone not to show up, and I'd take their job for that day. And it was tough work, but I mean, talk about a cultural experience, that was it. And my next job was working for a fellow by the name of Dave Conger. My grandpa introduced me to him, and I've looked back on that, Emerald, a bunch, because I hadn't thought about the impact of my grandpa, but here was this simple little introduction. He said, I think you ought to go meet Dave Conger. I know him through real estate transactions. Well, I ended up working for Dave, and he helped me start my first company at 16, a little maintenance company. And I put up their signs and cleaned out houses for people that were evicted. But Dave changed my life. He got me into reading books, The Richest Man in Babylon and Formula to Fortune. I mean, all these things I'd never really thought about. And I went over to his house one Saturday to do some jobs, and I came over the hill, and here's this nice big home, and sitting in the driveway were two new Cadillacs, and the license plate said Conger 1 and Conger 2, his last name. And I'd never seen anything like that. And but that started me on the road to thinking differently, having a desire to be a businessman, a business leader, a business manager. And so I went to school, went on a mission to South America for a couple of years, came back to Brigham Young University and graduated in accounting, went to the Harvard Business School. And I just stayed in this area in Utah and started my first company when I was 26, and then bought my first company when I was 27, a publishing and printing firm. And pretty soon, we had 700 employees, and they would come to me and say, how can I be a top sales rep, or how can I be one of the top managers? And I had a few ideas, but this instilled with me, Emerald, to really find an answer to that question. And so it started a research that I thought would take just a few years, but ended up taking over 40 years. And my hair went from brown to white. And here's what I found. I interviewed over 150 CEOs, studied the lives of a couple of hundred historical figures that have changed all of our lives. And what we discovered was, and I'm looking for what sets apart high-performing individuals from everybody else. And we discovered none of these people were perfect, but they all did 12 things And it was these 12 things that created their excellence as leaders. And you could clearly see that excellent leadership, really great leadership, created great results and made a difference. And that's what I put in the book, Becoming Your Best, the 12 principles of highly successful leaders. And so early on, that's the calling. Realizing that leadership could change the world for good, that it could help people live better lives and help them realize their fullest potential, to help people see what they're capable of and not sell themselves short. And so that's kind of a cool thing. And what a blessing, Emerald, that it's worked out that I can go all over the world and do that. Like, it's really cool.
Very cool. And what I love about that story is a couple of things. First of all, you started in a restaurant. I also started in a restaurant. If you don't count babysitting, I did start in a restaurant as well.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I really love about that story is that you had somebody when you were very young, you were 16 years old, you had a leader in front of you, you know, put in front of you, but you know, two leaders, your grandfather as well as Mr. Conger, and you were open enough to take that leadership and become a reader. And I think that's a really important point for our listeners around the world, because I think that we live in a culture now where everything is like instant gratification and it's got to be fast and 20 minutes or less or 5 minutes or less on video or, you know, 120 words or less on Twitter. And reading is such a contemplative practice and such a way to go deep, right, into those transformational places. So I want to talk to you about courage, because I haven't read the book yet. I have the book. I was moving in the process when the book arrived, so I haven't had an opportunity to dive into these 12 principles. But for me, what I've noticed about men on purpose is that they have the courage to answer their calling. So I'd love to ask you about the courage that it took you, you know, maybe at 27 to buy a company or to become the leader for 700 people or to write this book and to do this research. Can you talk a little bit about your own courage and what you do to exercise your courage muscle?
I love your question, Emerald. Wonderful. And sometimes courage comes from this intangible thing, actually from just a feeling. It gets back to the first question you asked about, well, what's your calling? What's this feeling that you have of something that you might do? And you might not even see exactly what the end game looks like. But as you follow this feeling, that's where the courage comes out. You said, you know, I'm just going to step up and do it. And I also think, as you think about this a little bit, there are things that can give you courage. So, for example, having a clear vision about what you would like to do and some inspiring goals. It's not just a blind action. You've thought about an area that you want to move forward in. And this actually increases the capacity and courage, this motivation to do it. I was just visiting with some business owners the other day, and they'd lived in Indonesia for 3 years as a younger couple, came back to the U.S., and they had worn flip-flops for 3 years. Hari Mari is the name of the company. And they wanted to do some good. And so they decided, we're going to take 1% of a company we're going to develop. They didn't even have, and dedicate it to pediatric cancer, which is a great cause. And they said, well, now what shall we do? Well, they had this feeling, and they went to the store once they moved back to the United States, in Dallas of all places, and saw some flip-flops. And they said, these are the same old flip-flops that were here when we left. And that was their idea, is to create a flip-flop company. And now 6 or 7 years ago, they just dove into the pool. But now they have this cool company, and they're one of the top manufacturers and retailers of flip-flops. So this is just an example. We all do it. Like you asked Emerald about the book. It's the feeling you have, and then finding the way to do it. And maybe that's one way forward. But yeah, courage is a big part of it, is being bold enough to go forward and say, I am going to do it.
Yeah. Well, what I heard there, Steve, is a few things. First of all, I heard vision. And like, I'm the kind of person also that if I don't have vision, I can set goals all day long. But if there's no vision, the goals are meaningless. So I love that you put vision first, because I think, again, we're a goal-oriented society, and sometimes people are working towards goals, and then they discover that they were putting their ladder up the wrong wall, so to speak, right? Yeah. So I love that you position having that clear vision as being the most important thing to start with, and then following the feelings, because I also am that kind of person. Like, I'm a vision getter, not a goal setter. So I'd love to have you talk just briefly about when you were referring to the feelings. And one of the things I'm discovering with interviewing so many of these men on purpose is feeling is a big part of how they lead. So I'd love to have you talk about, like, where is the feeling? Is it in your heart? Is it in your belly? Is it in your shoulders? Where's this feeling that you're talking about?
Oh, great. Well, yeah, for me, it's in the heart. It's a feeling, right? It's a warmth. And this is one of the things that definitely stood out, is that these are feeling people. They care for other people. They treat other people decently with respect. They are conscious about trying to build high trust cultures. This is all a feeling. It's about building relationships and people that, because you treat them a certain way, they're going to bust their pick to help you also be successful. It's a reciprocal type of thing. It is a feeling about what matters most in life. And what matters most in life is doing good and making a difference and building strong relationships with family and friends. Because at the end of the game, when it's all done, those are the things that will bring us the greatest satisfaction, trying to make a difference in the world, which can show up in our endeavors that we do, whether it's philanthropic or business related. I think that's one of the things we've observed, that they're very thoughtful. It doesn't mean that they're soft on performance. It just means that they're really strong on treating people right and feelings and being decent. They do them both. I was interviewing a coach one time, Emerald. He's the winningest women's soccer coach for Division I in history in the United States. He's won 22 national championships. And I asked him just a really simple question. And the simple question is, sometimes I see, and it was about culture building. And I said, sometimes you see coaches during a game yelling in somebody's face. I said, how does that work? And he was really thoughtful about this, because I could tell he understood. He said, well, you know, it's the bigger picture, because you have trust. Your players know you love them, you care for them. He said, but in the battle, when that player is on the other side of the field and they're doing something wrong, there's not time to put your arm around them and say, have you considered this? He says, you need to say, push right and cut the player off.
Yeah.
So I love that question. It's both of these things are important, and that's what makes it work. But it's the feeling of people first that give us the results.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, we're going to take a short break, because we are already at the break. But before we go, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. We are well on our way to 100,000 downloads now. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in our 67th country, Montenegro. Hello, Montenegro. And we're also going to shout out to our listeners in Utah, because that's where Steve comes from. So
yay,
listeners in Utah. And we will be right back in just a moment with Steve Schallenberger.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com, or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Steve Schallenberger, and he is the author of Becoming Your Best, The 12 Principles of Highly Successful Leaders. You can find out more about Steve and about the book and about booking him to speak, I'm sure, and also potentially working with him at becomingyourbest.com. And we will have that in the show notes. Before we went to the break, we were talking about this feeling and about courage. But you also, at the beginning, when we were talking about the calling, you mentioned having a clear vision. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit about how you cultivate clarity in the sea of confusion that the world can sometimes be. Do you have any particular practices personally, or did you find any particular practices or principles that these best leaders have that allow them to achieve clarity more rapidly?
Wonderful question, Emerald. There's a difference between a personal vision and an organizational or team vision. You're a lot more thoughtful on an organizational team vision, that it's short, it's compelling, and people get it. In other words, it actually provides leadership in the absence of supervision. And that's an inspiring organizational one. It represents the cause and the purpose of where that organization is going. Now, a personal vision, this is the clarity part, is the starting point. And it, like you said, it's different than goals because it defines the direction. And every day when you wake up, your personal vision should provide the type of clarity in terms of it is meaningful. It helps you be excited every day, and it's motivational to you. It actually drives you on. But it does more than that, too. You've already planted in your mind ways you're going to respond to issues that come up, to setbacks, to disagreements, to innovation, like you said, to learning and reading, of invigorating your mind. So these are the kind of things that are in a personal vision. And one thing that we have found that's been helpful is you can just get a clean sheet of paper and put down each of your key roles in life. And this gives a whole different way to think about your vision. And number one ought to be you as a person, personal. So it's your health, it's your fitness, it's your finances, it's your spirituality, it's your mental and emotional side of life. So taking care that you are whole, that you're energetic, and that you have a balanced, sustainable life. This is a big part of success, as you know. I know you talk about it, but also put down, say, spouse or family, could be a parent, put down, you know, professional, civic, service. So you have these key areas. And now what does your vision look like for each one? I am healthy and fit. I have high energy. I'm patient. I'm kind. One of my natural inclinations is not totally to be frugal. But good thing I make money. I mean, because, you know, that helps. I have had to put in my vision, I am a careful, thoughtful manager of money. I have a gelt. A gelt is a Yiddish word for a good reserve fund. And these are things not of how you are today, but use current, like present tense language of who you want to be. I am fit and healthy. I am a good money manager. I'm frugal and thoughtful. Well, how do I treat my spouse? How do I treat my children? How about fellow employees? I am a visionary. I am great under crisis. So these are the kind of things that once you get this programmed, it's a little bit like our friend Ralph Waldo Emerson, who's from your part of the world. He said, sow a thought and you reap an action, sow an act and you reap a habit, sow a habit and you reap a character, and sow a character and you reap a destiny. Well, it all starts right here with programming our thoughts and minds. And one day we start waking up that way, and we are that way, and it's pretty awesome. That's the clarity.
Beautiful. Well, you know, what I love best about how you're bringing this to the table, Steve, is what you're really talking about is creating. Like, you know, your book is about becoming your best. That's a creative act.
Yeah.
And all these words that you are using, I'm very, very strongly aware of how potent the I am. When you put the I and the am together, you create using that phrase. It's very, very powerful. I think it's the most powerful two words in our language. And so I was going to ask you about creation, but you've already just answered that question about how you create. You do it by programming and using the I am and allowing that vision to kind of pull you forward. One of my teachers calls it the invisible hand of the you that you are becoming is pulling you forward into the future you're creating. So beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I would like to ask you now.
So just a little pause, if you don't mind, just a little pause.
Yeah.
So great language. I love that. There is an invisible hand, these forces in the world that start opening the doors for you. I'm glad you described it. And I can tell that Emerald is also creative and innovative and fun. So just before we started, and if anybody can see this video, great. But if you can't, it's all right, because Emerald is wearing two beautiful earrings. One is the moon and the other is the sun. And man, they are cool. So talk about personality. These things come out of us and really fun. Thanks for brightening up my day, Emerald.
Oh, you are so welcome, Steve. Thank you for bringing your smile and your intelligence and your brilliance and your purpose. You know, thank you for bringing your purpose to our Men on Purpose all around the world, because, you know, we need leaders like you to lead and to instigate and initiate other leaders. So I have two more questions for you before we close. The first question I have for you is challenge. Like, what's your biggest challenge right now? I know you said, I am great in a crisis. And I was like thinking, I'm not sure I want to create crises to see if I'm great in a crisis. So what's your biggest challenge right now?
Well, I think most leaders, and research seems to support this, 68% of leaders say their number one challenge is how to prioritize their time. I think I'm part of that 68% because, and most of us have very busy worlds. If we're running organizations or divisions, trying to balance our personal life and have these things we've talked about, you know, to be fit and healthy and have good rest, to be able to build and manage relationships so that they are happy and satisfying and that you're able to remember people and then to participate perhaps civically in some way. And then you're running your businesses or you're doing your job, whatever that might look like. That is a real handful. And so I think that's my number one challenge. I found that what we've been talking about is a great antidote to help us feel at peace, to reduce the stress, to give us good focus. So the vision and clear goals. And one of the things we recommend, Emerald, is something called pre-week planning. And that is take a few minutes during the weekend before your week ever starts. And through the lens of your roles, like we've just been talking about, ask yourself, and this is a total leadership function, what's the most important act I can take this week by each role to do what matters most? And then you bring your schedule and those things together. And before you ever start your week, you can sit back and look at it and say, how do I feel about this week? Is this going to be a really great week? And do I need to make adjustments? And so this is leadership first, then management. It's effectiveness first. It's going through this process first, then efficiency. And so this simple process seems to help with this big challenge. I certainly have it. And especially as a leader, if we don't have our act together, we can cause a lot of havoc in other people's lives.
Oh, that's for sure. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, Steve. All right. Well, we only have a moment or two left before we close. It's amazing how fast these interviews go. And today's was really particularly lovely. I could actually spend hours with you, Steve. Your energy is awesome. My last question for you, and I love that you know, centered yourself, you know, making sure that we always put ourselves at the beginning, because if we aren't taking care of ourselves, then we are actually creating a shit show. So, so in service to putting yourself first, what do you do to celebrate when you have accomplished something epic or even something small, like making sure that you're in alignment with your intentions?
I love it. That's a great question, because I think sometimes people don't do that. They're so driven, you know, they're just always moving forward. So for my annual goals, I actually share them with a few people that I admire and trust, and then give them a report at the end of the year, along with my goals for the next year. So sitting back and at least feeling some happiness over your accomplishments is a good thing. And of course, they happened yesterday and the future is calling. So you can't stay there too long, but it gives you confidence. And I'm glad you asked the question, Emerald, because maybe 9 months ago or a year ago, I decided to sit down and on a sheet of paper list all of the good decisions I've made throughout life. And that was cool, very cool. And then I made another sheet that said, what were all the dumb decisions? And I said, okay, those are really good ones. And these are the dumb ones. I'm going to keep trying to make good ones. But that was cool because it put everything in perspective. It's really fun.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I'm guessing that some of those dumb decisions actually provided in some way.
Right? They do.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for being with us today on the show and for bringing your brilliance and your sparkle, your sparkling energy to helping our men on purpose around the world become their best. And we want to say thank you to all of our listeners. Listeners, we love feedback. Let us know what you thought of today's show or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. I also want to let you know that I am launching a program this year called Loving to Lead. And so if you have any interest in finding out more about that, you can send email to that same email, listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We can schedule a conversation with one another. And I want to thank you again for tuning in. Keep your ears open and remember, you are magnificent men.
Okay, now hold on, Emerald, before you go. I want to thank you for being magnificent. You are blessing the world. You're doing so many really extraordinary things. And thank you for your efforts, because I think that inspires a lot of people. Great going.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.